What's up, everybody? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
Today, we've got a special guest, Katie, coming here to tell us some stories about Ouija boards.
Ooh, yeah, among other things.
Ooh. We've never had a Ouija board story.
Well, Katie, we usually ask our guests on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being completely no belief at all in ghosts, it's all bullshit. 10 being like, yes, I'm constantly talking to my great-great-grandfather every day. I kind of want to reframe the question a little bit because I think Ouija boards are really fascinating. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how much would you say you believe in Ouija boards and their power to communicate with the dead?
So I'll actually break that out into two time periods. I would say pre my Ouija board experience, I was probably a solid like 2, and post Ouija board experience, more like an 8.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What about like the original question of ghosts? Did that change at all?
So ghosts are weird. I'd say I'm like a solid 5, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I feel about aliens. So I don't think that the traditional way people think of ghosts or aliens is what, you know, you see in media or see in comics or anything like that. But I do think that the supernatural is somewhat real.
So what do you think the mainstream media is getting wrong about ghosts?
Well, I guess by that, I mean, just like, I don't think that they're, you know, sheet covered spirits floating around the house, but
That would be so fun.
I know. I wish it was that, honestly, but I think that the world of the supernatural touches our world in some way, for sure.
So a little more, it sounds like you think maybe there's a little more out there to ghosts and spiritualism that we just haven't been able to explain or wrap our heads around.
Or like a multiverse that happens at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I won't go down the multiverse rabbit hole because I do believe that. But I would say I think that the universe is too weird and too big for that kind of stuff not to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as someone who's skeptical in ghosts, I think that sounds very sensible. Because often, you know, when someone who is skeptical, it's, you know, our one of the kind of go-to defenses for skepticism is, you know, the universe is so complex and complicated, like you can't just attribute something to ghosts just because we don't understand it.
For sure.
But also, the universe is so complex and complicated, there very well could be things that we don't understand that may seem a lot like ghosts.
I just think there already are so many things that we don't understand about this universe.
Right.
And most people won't understand for their whole lifetime.
Yeah, I've never understood what hot dogs are made of. I never will.
I don't think you want to know. I was just going to say, like, I come from a family of hardcore believers, not in terms of like ghost hunters, but in the sense of my family will take a look at a picture and, you know, those orbs that sometimes show up, like discoloration. Mm-hmm. They fully believe that those are spirits, whereas I do not. Right. I think that's just a, you know, an effect of the photograph.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Kat saw Malfoy, a famous Harry Potter character, in a theater and saw an orb floating around the theater.
Well, I know. High school.
I do have to say I'm offended that you have to tell me who Malfoy is.
Well, Katie, because I feel like you've heard this story before. It's kind of embarrassing, but well,
first of all, let's just note that Kat and Katie know each other from a Harry Potter friend group. Oh.
So Katie went to college, UGA, with one of both of our mutual like best friends, Paula. And Paula, I went with Paula and some other people to one of the movie releases, one of the Harry Potter movie releases. We were in college, and I'm so embarrassed by this, but there was a guy dressed up as Malfoy in the theater. I think it was one of the guys from the trombone section in the Redcoats marching band.
Shout out to Redcoats.
I'm pretty sure it was him.
I was there. I remember. I know exactly who you're talking about. I saw him on campus constantly after that. And every time I was like,
wait, Katie was there when this happened?
Oh my gosh, Katie. There were so many of them. Yes. Oh, because did I just have my tonsils taken out? And I was like, I dressed up as Dobby. Anyways. Okay. If you remember this. But anyways, I took a picture of him, which he was all the way at the front of the theater. And I had a camera that was not a phone. And so it was just this really wide angled picture. And he's in the middle. But there's like 27 weird like bubble light effects all in the picture that, I mean, like the movie projector was not on. So I have no clue like where those are coming from.
Isn't that on our Instagram too?
It's on our Instagram somewhere. Yeah. I might repost it.
Okay, I'll check it out.
But also later that week, I'm pretty sure I Facebook messaged him and I don't know what I was talking about, like trombones or Harry Potter. Who knows?
I hope it was trombones.
I'm terrified to look for that message, but it did happen. So if he is listening right now, know that I am not a crazy person.
Well,
okay. I don't know what in that story says you're not a crazy person.
Yeah. I'm crazy. Okay. Anyways, back to you.
Why don't we get into this story about your Ouija board?
So I'd actually like to back up before getting there, because that's kind of the, I guess, ultimate end of the story.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, my family is very spiritual based, or I mean, they are spiritual, but in the sense of like supernatural as well. My grandma has stories about remembering past lives and knowing things that there's no way she could have known. My mom also has, she doesn't have the past lives thing, but she has kind of like a weird sixth sense about stuff, that has been like proven over and again that she wouldn't have known about things. And yet she did. She also, growing up, she saw ghosts in her parents' house. So she had one that she called the Green Man, who would come into her room at night. Wow. And then she had an orchestra that played like kind of in their backyard. So So there's a lot of like weird supernatural stuff surrounding my family, particularly the woman, I guess. For that reason, we were never allowed to have Ouija boards in the house because my mom saw them or still sees them as like sort of a doorway between our world and the other. And even if you're going into it with good intentions and you even don't have a bad experience, you don't know what else is coming through that door, was always her take on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So of course we would sneak Ouija boards in the house when I was a teenager and just wouldn't tell her.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But like this is the beginning of like every horror movie ever.
I know. So that might explain why the Ouija board story is definitely a weird one. But another very weird encounter I had was I was in high school. I was in my bedroom and my best friend and I, we were just hanging out. And it was one of those things where both of us were cracking up and the laughter kind of started to die out. And when there was a pause, when neither of us were laughing, all of a sudden we heard this like cackle. And the weird part was it sounded like it came from the wall, which the wall just backed up to the outside. So there was nothing on the other side of it. So we went to my sister's room. She was next door. And I was like, are you watching something? That's not, because it sounded like a clown laugh, which not to like add horror to the already creepy story. Yeah. But that both of us were like, that was definitely a clown. So we asked my sister and she was like, no, I wasn't watching anything like that. We went downstairs and asked my mom and she said no. And we told her what had happened. And she was just like, you know, you guys are crazy. You're kind of like, sure. And that was the end of it. Like, never heard it again. However, 2 years later, I'm in college and I get a phone call from my mom and she was like, I heard the laugh.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Yeah. She was like, I did not believe you, but I just heard it.
Now, if you
think, and I was like, vindicated.
If you think about that moment that you heard that laugh, can you still hear the actual laugh?
Yeah, it was so freaky. It was the weirdest sound I've ever heard, just because it was so muted. Like, I mean, it literally sounded like someone was on the side of the wall, which I don't know was creepier. But like,
could you mimic what you heard for us?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. It was like, like really high pitched. Yeah.
Well, I'm scared.
And it. it wasn't something that you were like, oh, it's just a lot. Like it sounded like it had intention behind it.
Yeah.
Just in the sense of it, I don't know, it just didn't feel like it belonged in the conversation and the laughter that we were sharing. You know, we probably another couple months later, my mom had a situation where one of our dogs would just start like sitting and staring up at the spot in the ceiling, and just, she could never get the dog to come. So that definitely made me believe a little more in spirits that you can sense and, you know, hear.
Was your mom in your room or in the same room that you had heard?
No. She was, I can't remember what room of the house she was in, but I know it was, I think she was in the kitchen, which my wall bedroom went straight down into the kitchen. So it may have just been that side of the house, but definitely very freaky. I was glad I never heard it again while I was living at the house.
Wow.
It kind of sounds like, you know, when there's like a group of people who are having a laugh about something, and then someone who like just wants to be part of the group but didn't hear the joke just kind of like jumps and starts laughing and everyone stops. It sounds like you have a socially awkward ghost in your house who just wants to be part of the joke.
It takes me longer than everyone else to get the joke. So if you're ever watching like a comedy show with me, I'll be the one that laughs after everyone, like when it's silent, and then everyone in the audience laughs again. Yeah.
You feel like that's what the ghost is like?
Maybe.
Well, so the weird part was I would say that, except it didn't sound like it was a humor laugh.
They were like
it didn't
fun
sound
of you.
Like someone was laughing in the same way we were.
It kind of like Ted
that
Bundy.
That it was more laughing to let it be known it was there.
Isn't Ted Bundy the clown killer?
No, that was John Wayne.
Yeah. Oh, John Wayne Gacy. That's right.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Well, that's creepy enough.
Oh, my
enough.
God.
Did you ever have any haunting experiences outside of that home, or were they all isolated to that house?
So the Ouija board experience was not in that house.
Oh.
So that pretty much growing up, that's all I ever experienced. I mean, that was definitely enough to stick with me, but the Ouija board experience was in college, and it was New Year's Day, I think 2012 or 2013. My best friend in college, he was living in this like old house. It was built in the 1910s, which, you know, that's like American old in England. They're like, it's brand new. But he was living in this house built in the 1910s. And there were a lot of just, it was, I mean, it was an old house, so it was creepy in general. He lived in the attic room of the house. So that was added to the creep factor of it. You know, it was just like slanted low ceilings. The day they moved in, they found a gravestone underneath the house. Yeah.
God.
That no one really knew how it got there.
This was in Athens, right?
Yes. So his house had a piano, and I'll tell the story because it's not the bulk of it, but I think this happened after we did the Ouija board. He was home one night. He lived with three other girls, and they all lived downstairs, like on the main floor. And he said he woke up at like 2:30 a.m. and someone was playing there. It was this old piano that came with the house. And they said, you know, you can't move it. It has to stay here, which that's kind of weird in and of itself. So it was just in the hall, and he woke up one night and someone was playing it. And he, you know, was just like, my roommates are coming. It was prime time to be coming home from the bars. So he just attributed it to that. Woke up the next day, came home from class, all of his roommates were there, and he was like, hey, really funny joke, someone playing the piano, you know, at 2:30 a.m.
trying to
sleep. A little freaky.
Yeah,
and all of them go, none of us came home last night. There wasn't anyone, like, none of us were here. Yeah.
Does he remember what song they were playing?
I think it's that he said it sounded more just like someone who didn't know what, like, how to play the piano, like, you know how kids just go and like bang on the keys, and sounded more like that, like someone just hitting random keys,
like something that wanted to be heard.
Yeah,
maybe it was a kid.
Ooh. And as a kid, it would have been like, too, like
that's JJ.
That's me playing the game.
Isn't the 2 o'clock hour? Isn't that like the witching hour? Or...
Oh, yeah. 2 o'clock. Uh-huh.
What does that mean? The witching hour? I've heard that before.
But... It's like when everything creepy happened. I don't know. Like when I think it's when the quote unquote veil between our world and the world of, you know, dead is finished.
Yeah. I think I've heard that before.
Well, I've heard it on Sabrina, the new Sabrina show.
That's where I've heard it.
Okay, I looked it up. The New Zealand Oxford Dictionary identifies midnight as the time when witches are supposedly active. Psychological literature suggests that apparitional experiences and sensed presences are most common between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m., corresponding with a 3 a.m. peak in the amount of melatonin in the body. I don't know if that was helpful.
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
This one says, in folklore, the witching hour or devil's hour is a time of night associated with supernatural event. Creatures such as witches, demons, and ghosts are thought to appear and to be at their most powerful. Black magic is thought to be most effective at this time.
So to the Ouija board story, it was New Year's Day and we were in this creepy old house. And we had probably 8 or so people over. We just made like a big New Year's Day feast and a la Southern cooking. After one of the girls who was there, she was like, oh, I have a Ouija board. Like we should, you know, new day of the year and see what happens. So we went into the front room, which was the living room, and turned off all the lights and lit a bunch of candles. And there were only 5 of us who actually did the Ouija board. I think the other girls were like a little freaked out. Not freaked out, but they were just like, we don't want to do it. But they were in there. So we pulled it out and it was a very, the girl who was leading it, she did it in a very respectful way, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. So we said kind of like an opening prayer before doing it, just a general, you know, like watch over us as we try and encounter the world beyond and only like good things come through. And after that, we just went, I can't even remember what the line of questioning we started asking was, but it was, we eventually got to what felt like a male spirit, an older male spirit. And he said he had lived in the house. We were kind of asking him questions just about, you know, what his life was like. And we weren't talking amongst ourselves at the time. All of us had our eyes closed and were touching the reader. I remember just having a not great feeling. It was a very instinctual pit in my stomach. I was just like, I don't like this. It just wasn't a good vibe. I think slowly we all kind of opened our eyes and we were looking around at each other and the answers just seemed to be getting angrier and more aggressive. And almost like if you're talking to an older person and they're just getting crankier and crankier, but this just felt less stable. And so I think we all just agreed at the same time to kind of pull out of it. So we said, you know, we're gonna leave this here. You know, we apologize. We mean no offense to the spirit, and pulled out of it. Everyone agreed that there was just an immediate uneasiness around for whatever answers we were getting. It didn't feel good. I don't know. I feel like I don't have very strong instincts, but it was one of the most just deeply, I just knew it didn't feel good.
Right.
So we sat there and we all kind of took some deep breaths and, you know, talked ourselves down a little bit. We were like, let's go in for one more. And so did kind of the same process again. And this time it was a younger female. She was probably 8, mm-hmm. I think. She, young kid. It was a totally different feeling, totally different vibe. And the circle of just, she seemed very nice and open to us communicating with her. And we actually at one point, oh, and this was what made the piano thing especially creepy. This was before the piano thing happened. And she actually said she liked playing the piano.
Wow.
And
was this in the same house that the piano thing happened?
Yes. Yeah.
Oof.
We asked her about the other spirit that we had spoken with, because I can't remember it, but he had told us his name. It was another immediate, just like negative. It was a very much like, I don't like him.
Wow.
Like he's not a good spirit.
So the
and
guy,
so we're like, oh, okay.
The older guy that you talked to that wasn't a good spirit. Do you remember some of the specific mm-hmm. questions you all asked him and the responses that you got?
I wish I did. It was more along the lines of, you know, how was your life? How are you right now? Is this okay that we're making contact with you? It was all very general questions, nothing specific.
Yeah.
And it was just like short answers. And it wasn't so much what answers the Ouija board was giving. It was more just the almost like temperature in the room was just cool and not welcoming at all.
Well, can you explain how it works? Like you said, your eyes were closed, but are all of your
hands? Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about Ouija boards.
So we pulled it out and obviously, and you put it on the table. And I think actually now I'm thinking it through, there were only a few of us doing it because the reader is only so big and everyone should have, I think, at least two fingers, if not four. Like two from each hand on the reader. And it's almost as if, from my understanding, the spirit is like talking through you.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in the circle like is channeling the spirit. And so I think that's why when it was so negative, all of us really just personally felt like something was wrong. So you put your fingers on, I mean, you can do it any number of ways. You know, you go to sleepovers when you're a teenager and the lights are out and everyone's just trying to scare each other. But I think if you're trying to have a legitimate reading, the best way to do it is to light some candles, turn out the, you know, unnatural light and I would recommend doing some sort of, you can call it whatever you want. The easiest way of putting it is a prayer of just protection over anyone who's doing the reading. Asking, I think the best first question to start out with is just like, are there any spirits here? And from there, you're going to get, you know, either a yes or a no. And if it's a yes, from there, you can ask, is it male or female, or how old are you, or when were you born? And then just going down the line of questions from there that you would be interested in knowing. I think it's something, once you get it started, it feels natural about what to ask, if that makes sense.
If it's a no on that first question, is that is that it? Is that the end of the experience?
Also, isn't that kind of a yes if something's telling you a no?
Right. Have you ever?
Ever, it's a no. It's like, okay, maybe you shouldn't go any further.
Have you ever pulled out a Ouija board and it said no, no spirits here?
No, I mean, again, probably when I was a kid playing with them at sleepovers and stuff, but. This one, both times, I guess really more than a no, you would just get, it doesn't move, like nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. But so have you had that happen, or do you feel like you get out the Ouija board?
After that experience, I actually haven't done one again, not because I am scared of it or it just hasn't come up. I think the creepiest part or the most unsettling was the fact that the second spirit we talked to knew the first one and didn't like it. So it was a confirmation of like, that was something bad.
And what would you say to our listeners or to our host that may be more skeptical, that would just say, bah, this is just one of your friends moving in around?
I would say it very well could have been, but everyone who was in the room seemed to be taking it seriously. I think that's kind of the nice thing about Ouija boards is you can choose who you're going to do it with and have a decent understanding of how invested they are in it. And if it's someone who seems like they're just trying to mess with you, then maybe your skepticism holds, but this one, it felt very much like all of us were having a similar experience and were in it to see what sort of contact we could make. Mm-hmm. After, so in terms of like process, you know, we asked her just a couple of questions, and once she mentioned that she didn't like the other spirit, we kind of backed away from that. We were like, okay, you know, we don't have to talk about that. After we closed it out again, said sort of a closing prayer. I would also recommend, you know, this is really going the extra mile if you believe it, but burning sage in the house is going to help close any doors that might have been left open.
Do you think there's any like significance to the object of a Ouija board itself? Like, does it kind of have any kind of inherent spiritual properties, or is it more just kind of like, can a spirit communicate with people with any object that they choose?
I guess it could be any object. I think what makes a Ouija board unique is that it's not, again, it's more the output. The vehicle of communication is the group or the person who's doing the reading.
Yeah.
So it just happens to be, you know, a thing that has all the letters and yes or no and different numbers and a way to easily put out answers that are being channeled through the reader or readers.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I asked that is I think Ouija boards are fascinating. I've never really done one successfully. I've only been yelled at for moving the thing, which, you know, I don't think I did.
So you're that person. I'm that person. You don't want to do Ouija boards.
but I always assumed there was some kind of occult historical significance to it, like that they had like some really fascinating history. When I looked it up, it's actually just like an invention from the late 1800s for, it was intended to just be a little parlor game. And it wasn't until later, after people had, you know, been playing with it as just like some fun game, that some occultists who, you know, I guess it was a period of time where spiritualism was, you know, really big in America, and occultists started using it and redefining it as this other thing. So I don't know, that history kind of demystified it, but maybe it's more about the people and the intentions.
Katie, have you ever had an experience where you've like seen a spirit or a ghost of any type?
No, I fully believe others have, but I personally haven't.
I think, Katie, would you come and lead us in a Ouija board on the podcast?
Ooh, I would love that.
Oh my gosh. That would be so...
I can't promise that I'll make anything happen, but...
That's okay.
I am happy.
We want to see JJ change.
Lead a session of it. I was going to say it should probably be like the oldest house in the group.
Oh my gosh. I'm scared thinking about it, but let's do it.
Catherine, like if you're freaked out about it, as soon as you close it out and burn some sage, which sounds really hokey, but I do believe in that kind of stuff. it does feel like you have closed anything. Like there's not really many lingering feelings.
The sage thing is not weird to me. A lot of our guests recommend that too. And I've lived with people that do it, and yeah.
Even when you move into a new place, it's not a bad idea to burn some.
My roommate did think that our house had been cursed. And I remember coming home one weekend and just being like, what is this weird smell in here? And he had gone through and burned some sage. Yeah.
What is the prayer that you do after a Ouija board session?
It's just thanking the spirits for being with us and, you know, for leaving in a night as nice of a way as possible. Say like, time to go back to your side of existence, and thank you for
your time
being with us.
Yeah,
kind of. And also thank you to whatever entity for protecting us and for keeping those spirits kind of on their side of the wall.
Do you have a Ouija board?
I do not. I was going to say we would need to buy one or borrow one for, I'm sure someone knows someone that has one.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing a little more research about Ouija boards to prepare for the episode. And something that I found super interesting is there's actually been some scientific studies about Ouija boards and trying to recreate that Ouija board phenomenon in a lab. And they actually found that they had two groups of people take like a quiz. The answers were yes, no. And one group was using a Ouija board. The other one wasn't. And they found that the Ouija board group did a lot better on the, well, groups, because science is repeatable, consistently did a lot better than the groups that weren't using the Ouija board. So like as if the Ouija board was directing them to the right answer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Weird.
Now, you know, scientists, because they're not going to say it was a spirit or anything, so they attribute this to what's called the idiomatic response, which is basically just like unconscious muscle movements. So basically saying when you're using the Ouija board, you may not be aware that you're moving it, but unconsciously, your unconscious mind could be directing slight movements from the group to, you know, in this case, because it was a test, the right answer, you know, in most cases, the answer that maybe everyone is suspecting of, oh, maybe there are ghosts in this room and maybe, you know, these spirits feel some certain way. So I don't know. What do you think about that explanation? Is it possible that the Ouija board, rather than channeling a spirit, might just be channeling people's unconscious brains?
Yeah, I guess I would say in terms of the board itself or the reader, the glass itself moving, I can definitely see that being just the slightest subconscious movement from the people doing it. But again, it's, like I said, I did it a couple of times growing up, but this one was so, it was the feeling of it was so different. Could have been because, you know, it was New Year's Day and the room was dark and there were candles lit and we were treating it super seriously. But
now, have you had any haunting experiences since that experience?
No. Mm-mm. Again, I think the biggest aftermath thing was the creepy 2:30 a.m. piano playing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She missed you guys. She was like, I'm going to just come back to this house and play.
I'd like to think it was the nice little girl who said she liked playing it, not the scary old man.
Well, thanks for sharing all these stories.
Yeah.
So cool. I can't wait for our Ouija board episode when you come on and we actually do one.
I'm so down. I'll ask around and see if anyone I know has one that we can borrow.
Is there any lasting words you'd like to leave our audience with?
Or any like things that you're involved with in the city you want to plug or anything like that?
If I can do a little shameless self-promotion.
Don't. Yeah, 100%.
I would just say, this has me thinking about, so I have my own personal blog, and I think this week I'm going to write about like some of the stuff, but in a more eloquent way, I guess. But I would love to put this episode up on that post and just kind of point back to what you guys are doing. Because I think ghost stories in general and people's personal encounters are super interesting. So,
well, we hope so.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we're doing this. It's crazy. All the things that we're getting, all the stories. Sure. Yeah.
That's you know, not, in my opinion, not that many people can have an experience and it not in some way, shape or form be true.
Right.
Yeah.
How do we find your blog?
It is actually just it's my professional name. So it's just Kate, not Katie, but Kate Weimer, KateWeimer.com.
Oh, awesome. That's easy. Perfect.
Yeah.
And how do you spell Weimer?
I know how, but yeah, and tell us. Oh, wait, right, because okay. I'm not a listener. Noah, I know.
The German Weimar Republic, but with an E instead of an A.
So W-E-I-M-E-R. Yeah.
Awesome. I was going to say, you got through the hardest part.
Yeah.
CMI.
Yeah.
Yes. KateMarmer.com.
We all know the German Weimar Republic.
I mean, who doesn't?
Of course. I know. It's
where we all met.
As common as ghosts, you know?
That's the most interesting and unhelpful way to explain to someone how to spell your name.
Happy to be of assistance.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. See you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
So JJ, did that, where are you on the scale after that one?
I think Ouija boards are really cool. I totally want to do one. I'm way more skeptical though about Ouija boards than I am about ghosts in general. I think, what's so cool about Ouija boards to me is it, In my opinion, how I interpret the phenomenon is it really demonstrates a lot more of what our unconscious minds are capable of. I don't think there's anything outside of that.
But honestly, in my head, it sounds like a big like group mind kind of game. Like the second you feel, you know, that game when your eyes are closed and you take turns counting up to 20 and you can't talk like over anyone else and everyone can only say one number. Mm-hmm. It feels like that, like the second you feel someone else move, like you're yes anding them in improv terms and going with them to work. Well,
it's kind of like hypnotism, right? A lot of people say it's fake, or like I know people that have been hypnotized and they're like, oh, I just didn't want to go against the group mind of like, if I come out and I'm like, this is fake, I'm not really being hypnotized, I'm ruining it for everybody. I wonder if using a Ouija board is kind of like that too. Ooh.
See, I'm the buzzkill that if I was hypnotized and like was not actually hypnotized, I would be like, I've exposed you to the hypnotist.
Oh my gosh.
And just like Lord. Be a jackass.
The person that the audience would hate to watch.
Yeah.
Well, if you're into seeing people being hypnotized that aren't really hypnotized, our friend is on a viral video. His name's Andy Cohen or Andy Diamonds. Just YouTube the video. I'm a real person. Hypnotism HLN, and you'll find it. It has like millions of views. It's hilarious.
This is a video of him pretending that he's
hypnotized. When he worked for HLN as a producer, he got hypnotized on air by his boss. Well, his boss had a hypnotist on air, but it was all fake.
I don't know, guys. I need more people to convince me.
We need facts.
If you have the facts, send them to realhauntingspodcast@gmail.com.
Or email your ghost to us. You never know.
Yeah. Shove that ghost in a fax machine and fax it to us.
Yeah. It's the only proof I will accept.
It's a ghost fax.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, on that note, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
Ooh.